How do you measure yourself with other golfers?
By height.
It's a very, very special honor.
I'm Paula Creamer, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
Well, we're waiting.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, a.k.a. John Kreese from Cobra Kai, and you're listening to Golf Talk Live.
And welcome back, fans, to our 19th hole podcast presented by Golf Talk Live. I am your co-host, Andrew DePue, joined by Alan DePue. How you doing?
Hola.
Hola, como está?
How's it going?
How we doing, guys? So, as you guys know, our 19th hole, this is our second Thursday show. It is our first Thursday show of the new year. It's a big Thursday show, so I hope you guys are excited. We have a lot to cover. But the most important one, and we'll get right into it, is the Century Tournament of Champions. Big tournament to start off the year. Obviously, a lot of big names. So let's just get right into it, and let's see what someone, you know, hopefully, Christian, you got some... Hopefully Christian's got some better picks than Ricky Fowler, because I don't think he's in the field. So Christian, I'm gonna turn it over to you. Let's start hearing some of the top picks. I got a couple of notes I would like to share with you guys because I actually wrote some notes down here. And we'll just kind of go from there. How's that sound?
I'm winging it. Right, just telling you.
Perfect. Ooh.
I'm obviously looking very forward to this week. It's the start of the new season. It's always fun to watch the tournament champions. Obviously, it's the best and the best in the world who actually have won tournaments in the previous season. So it's going to be a really stacked leaderboard. I got my eyes on a few guys this week that I think could really break out and win. I really like Patrick Cantlay this week, to be honest with you. I like Victor Hovland this week. I think he could come out of nowhere and really play well. But also, too, keep in mind, Harris English just won a few weeks ago, so he's playing some really solid golf right now, too. Him and Cooch just won down in Florida, and they could easily come up and really win this tournament. But again, though, you got Morikawa in there. You got Xander Schauffele, obviously Dustin Johnson, Justin Thomas. You know, you got the big names in the world. Those guys are obviously going to be up there. And if you really want to be a DJ or Justin Thomas, you got to put the ball in the hole, and you really got to play well, and you got to hit fairways and greens. That's what it comes down to.
I can't agree more. I think you're on the right track. You didn't get my pick, so I'm glad for that. Dad, I'm going to turn it over to you so that way I can maybe save my pick and don't get called out for making the safe bet, although I will probably get called that. Who do you got? Why do you got them? And what's some other notes you may have?
All right, let's break this down, okay, boys? So I'm going to give you the straight skinny because I'm the one that usually calls these things correctly. Okay. Kapalua Plantation Course, Coren Crenshaw design, amazing venue, 650-some yard, even maybe longer than that, 18th hole. The entire golf course was formed around that. They actually formed the golf course around the last hole. The golf course is 4 steps shy of 7,600 yards. Yeah, needless to say.
It's kind of long.
Needless to say. You're going to have to be a long ball hitter. So let's look back at the history at this property. Mm-hmm. DJ won it twice. JT won it twice, including being the defending champion. And I'm going to then mention the other person. I mean, JT is going to be right there again. So we'll steal Andrew's pick right out of the gate. But
why are you saying that's my pick? You don't know who my pick is.
JT's your boy, like Ricky Fowler.
He's either going to go with JT or he's going to go with Bryson this week. I know Andrew.
Here's the deal. It's going to be a long ball hitter. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's going to need to be somebody who takes it deep. It's always a problem to make any kind of prediction who's going to win out at the Century Tournament of Champions because they just had 2-3 weeks off, maybe the entire December off, depending on how much they wanted to take off during the holidays. But I'm telling you who I like because I've been watching a few swings, making some phone calls. Tony Finau.
Ooh, that's a pretty solid pick. That is a phenomenal pick. I was picking JT, but not for the reason that you think. JT, obviously, returning champion. Last time when he won last year, he became the third player only other than Tiger and Jack to have 12 titles under the belt by being before the age of 27. Excuse me, I can't speak. But also then he's shown that he can hang in and beat some of the best guys around there in the biggest pressure moments in playoffs. He beat P. Reed. He beat Xander last year. The guy's got a full game. He has had some time off. I've seen you want to make talks about having the calls. I've seen through social media, because that's my thing. You're the a little bit more old school. I'm the new school. He's been working on his game on a weekly basis. And quite frankly, he's got everything. He's the only one in my mind at this present moment in the golfing world. And I'm saying this now multiple times. He's the only one that can hang with DJ if he wants to. And if he's, you know, playing well, obviously. So JT is my pick. I think the Tournament of Champions is a phenomenal, obviously, event. It's so hard to choose, like you mentioned, but reality is that's why we get, you know, the luxury of getting to pick, because we have no idea, and we're going to just hope that our pick actually comes in the winner's circle.
Yeah, yeah. JT is obviously solid, but again, if you're going based off distance, too, this kid, I mean, he's younger, obviously. He's a phenomenal player, and I could see him, if his putting is on, he could make a run. I'm not going to say he wins, but he could make a run. Cameron Champ, super long hitter on tour. Guy just absolutely kills the ball.
If second, he's down second there this only week, to, second only to only Sir Bryson.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, he finished 89th last year on tour on the FedEx Cup ranking. He had one top 10 finish at the Zozo last year. But again, I mean, you know, first major appearance for him, I think it was at the Masters. He came in tied for 19th. I mean, the kid can just absolutely nuke the ball. And I think that he will, if he can putt well, I'll tell you what, man, that kid could get it done this week if his short game and everything else is really kind of clicking on all cylinders.
So let me chime in, though, back to Andrew on your pick there, boy. So JT, Xander, DJ, and I think JT, those are the last four winners. Mm-hmm. I mean, are you just gotten tired of getting thrashed on your picks that you had to go with the guy that's won two out of the last 4 years?
You kind of picked the same players the last few weeks.
Listen, the reality of it is we always joke and we talk about the fact that Christian picks Ricky Fowler. We joke about the picks that he says Tiger's not going to, you know, make even the cut at the Masters. The reality is at some point, if you continuously bet with JT, your horse is going to win. I mean, the guy is that talented. So my rational thinking is if I just continue to pick JT week after week, if he's playing, obviously, eventually the statistics are going to be in my favor and I'll look like a genius. Reality is I've picked JT like 40 times and hasn't happened. So I maybe need to knock on wood after the show so that way I don't curse the guy. But the reality is, you know, I'm going with statistics and then eventually, hopefully, I'll actually get a win and that way I can rub it in your faces. That's the reality.
Nice.
Okay. I hope so.
I will say I do like the Tony Finau pick, if I'm going to be honest, though. I really do. I think
that's why I picked him.
Well, listen, I'm not trying to pat you on the back. I'm just giving you some props.
I'm patting myself.
I think it's a solid pick. I think for the same reason, though, that Christian mentioned, that if that dude gets the flat stick rolling with how far he hits the ball, I mean, he should be like DJ. He should be untouchable. The issue always is at the top level is who's putting better. So reality is I think Tony has a chance. Tony's obviously playing some great golf. Getting the weird little putter in his hands that he had. I wonder if that will make an appearance. We will find out. But I think it's a great pick. I think overall, though, we're in for a real treat, and I'm glad that golf is finally back so that we can talk about actual golf and not have to rip on my putting game, which brings me to
segment. Oh, wait a minute. No, let's do that for a second.
No. We're okay. Because I'm just going to go right into it.
How is your putting?
My putting is phenomenal.
Yeah.
It's perfect, actually, if I do say so myself.
I need to see some video proof of this weekend when I come up and see you. I need to see some actual proof that your putting has gotten better.
My putting has gotten better, and it's only due to our good friends over at Perfect Practice. Those guys are the real deal. I will say it time and time again. I will continue to say it this entire time we are on this show. Those guys have helped my putting game. They can help anybody else's putting game. Obviously, we're always looking to get better, especially during the off season. That's why we want to try to be, you know, better when we get into the new season. These people have figured out the way to do it. You have to try them out by using our code GTL15. That's GTL15 for 15% off. They can be rolled up and taken anywhere. They can be used anywhere, literally in your house, apartment, does not matter. Even in the, you know, hotel room, if you're on a golf trip, like I know we were talking about last time. So you have to try them out. Our good friends over at Perfect Practice, they were our December product of the month. We will touch on, I'm sure at some point during the show, our January product of the month, but I definitely recommend them. They are phenomenal. And if anyone is looking, use our code again, GTL15 for 15% off. Now, that being said, obviously,
I'm ready to interrupt. Can I interrupt now?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Well, first of all, yes, Perfect Putting or Perfect Practice putting mat. It's great. Ben Conroy, who won our giveaway for the December product of the month putting mat, he should be have received it or be receiving it any second now. Ben, we'd love to have a little feedback from you, maybe a little video, a little shout out on our social that says how you like it. It does tie in ideally with our January product of the month, which I'll get to in 1 second. But we jumped right away from Kapalua, you know, and are doing our little luau out there before I even got a chance to make my other point.
Okay, what's your other point?
John Rahm will be, I believe, introducing his new set of sticks this week. Christian?
Absolutely.
Any thoughts on that? Because it ties into other conversations about the business of golf.
No, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, he's one of numerous guys that kind of switched companies this year. I mean, Tommy Fleetwood went to TaylorMade. Mm-hmm. I know John Rahm just went to Callaway. And I'm sure that there's going to be other guys that kind of switch back and forth depending on the equipment that they want to use. But, you know, John Rahm, obviously he went over to Callaway, and that's big news because he was TaylorMade all throughout his career so far. And now switching over to Callaway, it's huge.
Clearly, he was the top free agent, if you will, that was out there in this year's signing in the club wars that was going on. So
go ahead.
No, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, you see other top players and there's like that drop off for like one season or half a season. It's going to be interesting to see because, I mean, he's solid. I mean, he is. Yeah.
Now I did see what it looked like, and obviously I didn't get the up close. It was just from the photo, but it looks like though he's still using his TaylorMade putter. I don't know if that was like a condition that he was able to only have certain clubs of Callaway, but he could keep like certain clubs. I don't know. I think it is big news. I really do. The other one, cool little fact of you know him switching over. It looks like he was wearing Air Jordan golf shoes, which I you know. Okay, I guess, you know, if it works, it works. But
you know where he probably borrowed those from, Andrew?
Who?
Ricky.
Well, yeah, you know. Well, those are Puma, though, right?
That's true.
But, Ricky's got the style.
You know, I think it's interesting. I know we've talked a lot about this offline with all of us, but I think reality is the years of the one club company forever, you know, that's your only sponsor. I think our starting to lower just because of the deals that can be made on you know from a financial standpoint, right? I mean, those guys obviously they're playing week in week out to make money, but they also want to have another backup living just in case they have a off year. So I mean, reality is I think those days are coming to an end. It's sad to see. I think guys like Callaway with Phil and Tiger with his Nike contract I think are starting to slow, but you know, it is a little bit different to see. Hopefully he doesn't have the drop off. I still think he's a phenomenal player, but you mentioned other golf news. Obviously you brought up the topic, which I know you have very near and dear to you being a course operator. Would you like to share with the listening
audience? No, I wasn't ready to go there yet.
Well, that's too bad.
you actually quote unquote teed it up. And what a great play on words that is.
Oh, okay.
And then I tried to take it where I was trying to take it from after that was with John Rahm because he hits it deep. Okay. You see how this all comes together, Christian? See where I'm going with this? Where I am going with this is our January product of the month, the bottle tea by our good friends over at Greenkeepers. Same ones that bring us the 4 Yards More golf tee. They have created a training tee that is, it's a long tee. There's no other way. It's built out of, it has a spring-loaded base so it doesn't break. And basically, folks, what this thing is designed to do is it elevates the ball 3-4 inches off the ground, and it promotes you, having all three of us played at a high level, it promotes you to come at the – what? Look at me. I'm like making a swing.
I was going
to
say, you know that the camera goes only so far, right?
Just making that – if you're listening to us, you can't see what I'm doing right now, but I'm actually making a swing from the inside right now as I'm trying to explain this. But anyway, yeah, you're swinging from the inside. It promotes an upward swing. And the bottom line is the bottle tee will create, it's fun, it's different, and it will create an upward swing, especially with the driver. It'll create the natural release, the natural body rotation. It is now up on our website as our product of the month. They'll be going an email, and we are going to have Frank Carroll join us hopefully next week. He's going to join us to chat about it. I know he's extremely excited about it. You can't get it yet. It's not going to go out until mid-February is what we're hearing, but we wanted to start promoting it now. We actually put it out as our product of the month now for January, because you got to look at this thing before you get it, and you got to pick it up. So That's where I was going with that.
It's all intertwined. I love it.
It all comes together like
usually
that.
Usually, you don't have a reason for the whole like loop on loop, but you merge
often
that together.
People say often, Christian. People say I don't have a reason for many of the things that I do, but all right there.
It's all up in the brain, baby. It's all up in the brain. I love it.
You got it.
I love it. You know, obviously this product of the month that we got going here, it's going to be unique. It's going to be cool. It's going to be different. You know, obviously Andrew needs to get his hands on this because he could use all the help he can get in his golf game, from his putting to his driving.
Everything. No, he hits it. He hits it fairly well. Let's give the kid credit. I mean,
Well. Yeah. I mean, he could be a little farther in distance, but you know, he's okay for now.
Yeah.
I outdrive him by 30 yards. So I'm just saying.
Are you still playing the forward tees?
Yeah,
I am. But don't give away my secret, okay? Nobody needs to know that.
Hey, what'd you shoot today? 66. Where'd you play? Women's tees.
Yeah, but don't say that. All right, come on.
Forward tees.
It's all the same. It's all the same. Anyway, I mean, reality is everyone needs to definitely get their hands on it. It's a phenomenal product. That's why we obviously love, you know, their support in the show and being able to support them just as in general. It was actually well put together. I will give you another props. I never thought I would say that twice in one show. So it is pretty impressive. If you are now ready though, because you're the master of this. And again,
no, I got one more point. I'm hoping sometime around mid February, Frank is going to be able to hook a few of those up. If you are in the Philadelphia area, hallelujah, we're going to be able to restart our winter tournament series in the not-so-distant future and be able to get back in to another great friend of the show, which is Play Around Golf at their Ardmore and Malvern locations, and we can get back in there. I'm hoping I'm going to have some of these bottle tees as a gift giveaway prize for when we get back in there. We haven't forgotten about all our winter tournament series, guys. We were just shut down for a little while, that's all.
That's unfortunately the world we live in right now.
It is the world we live in right now. Okay, Andrew, now we can move on.
Okay, now we can finally move on. So, again, you're obviously the course operator of the group. Obviously, this is near and dear to you. I'll let you roll it out because, again, it is near and dear to you. So, what's the other big news that is in the golf world that you have to bring to our attention?
Well, the golf world took a monumental change this week, boys. I don't think you can appreciate how much it is because you've not lived the gray hair that I have. So, and I have obviously spent a career in professional golf management companies. I've done brokerage and so forth. Troon Golf, the number one golf operator, this was announced on Monday. Troon Golf, the number one golf operator worldwide. They're based out in Phoenix. They acquired Indigo Golf, which was formerly Billy Casper Golf. They literally just changed their names. I know after a few phone calls, I didn't understand why. There was a little reasoning for why that occurred. But Billy Casper changed to Indigo Golf. And then in an acquisition, Troon Golf picks them up. And let me tell you why I think that's important. I think it's important because you got Troon Golf with 270 golf courses approximately worldwide. And now you got the former Billy Casper Indigo with 160 golf courses. They're huge. That's massive. I mean, help me with the math on there. 270, huh?
270, 160. So you're looking at 430 properties. I thought I also saw, a stat of roughly they now, with that, you know, partnership, they are now controlling management partners of like 80% of properties or something, or something. They have some crazy number.
But that actually, this, I think you're touching on somewhere I actually think this is going to go. And I may be talking years down the road, you know, another 10 to 20 years, but I've seen in the golf industry a acceleration of quote unquote professional golf management companies. And many years ago, 20 years ago, approximately, the number was only like 5% of golf courses, you know, worldwide were managed by these professional golf management companies. Now here's Trim at 400 and some. Now in the US there's 15,000 golf courses. I could foresee a day where golf is almost like the hotel industry, where you have a Marriott, a Hilton, and then at that point, you know, they have brands underneath them. But this is a big move in the golf business. We're seeing a lot of consolidation in golf. The Callaway thing we touched on last week with Top Golf. Now this kind of move, I think some big players are partnering up to take golf to the next level. And at this point, I'll just be quiet because I think Christian fell asleep over on the other side there.
I'm still wide awake over here.
So, you know, I just wanted to throw that out there for conversation. Get Christian, got any perspective on it? I mean,
this is obviously huge news first and foremost. And I kind of agree with a lot of what you said, Alan, because, you know, you see a lot of these big name players and that want to do this because they want golf to explode. They want golf to, you know, never lose the meaning of the word, because it's always going to be around in our life. Right. So having 430 golf courses across the nation, it's huge. And I think, you know,
worldwide.
And, you know, it's going to be huge, obviously. I mean, obviously what we're dealing with right now with Callaway and Top Golf, that's major, major news. And I think the consolidation of this is just going to even add to that. And I think golf, like we've been saying all along, is in a great spot with players and off the golf course too, with what they're doing. And I think golf's going to have a big year coming up here. And I think golf's going to continue to grow in the next, you know, 5 to 10, 20, 30 years. So,
you know, Andrew, let me just chime in. I want to set it up, but I want you to protect, don't name the company, but you've worked for a couple of professional golf management companies as well. And here's been my things, folks. And I will say this, and I could still consider you to consult. I will be, you know, I do, if asked, I would contractually manage your property and we'd put a team together. But here's my question. And you got to see it firsthand when you stepped out away from, you know, my shadow, so to speak. But
yeah,
it's difficult to truly manage from afar. It really, you can create as many systems, and you got to see it firsthand. I mean,
yeah. Listen, I'll put it this way. I think, and I've now been, you know, a part of, as you mentioned, a professionally in a large club management group. I've now also been a part of another entity that owns multiple properties. And I'll tell you, in my opinion, the biggest thing when this happens, and it's funny that you mentioned hotels, because I was actually going to bring something up about this. Everyone always talks in the business world about culture, right? Culture, culture, culture. Culture is so important. When I go to the office, I want to feel the culture. The reality is, it is very difficult when you have multiple properties and multiple brands to be able to keep said culture, you know, consistent. Now, there's some that do it better. There's some that don't do it as well. I personally think that where I'm at now has done it the best. And that's not just because obviously I'm where I'm at now, but I truly believe that they do the best job out of any. I think that the big thing that I would be intrigued to see is, obviously you mentioned that, you know, there may be like the Marriotts and then the other ones and then the subcategories. I'll be interested to see, are they very stringent on putting their thoughts and their beliefs of how things should be done, or i.e. Indigo has a little bit of say, but then they report to True.
Well, like, yeah, I've not gotten into the weeds. Many of my contacts at Indigo, I haven't had a chance to really connect with them. But what you're saying is exactly right. And I will say this, you know, the press release, and I know all the players, but the press release basically said something to the effect of the share like values. And they do have some commonality in the way they think. Troon has the Troon experience. When you go to one of their properties, you know you're at a Troon, especially at the higher end. But what Indigo presents to them is an opportunity to have basically the largest, I think they're the largest contractual management company. It gives them a whole nother product line to continue to grow on. So it's going to be interesting how it plays out. I had to throw it into the podcast because it's just like, it's as big a news, honestly, as Callaway buying Topgolf in a different context within the business. So.
And I think you're 100% right. I think this is going to definitely shape the game. So it's obviously important to be talked about. I think what will be interesting to see is the future and how it changes, whether it changes rapidly, whether they slowly start to integrate different things, whether they, again, keep their hands off of it to a degree and allow them, and then they just report, like, how do they handle it? If it's done right, I think this is going to be the most home run, and it'll start, like you mentioned, that train of, you know, Marriott's and other hotel style brands set up. And I think it's going to be definitely interesting. You know, the big thing too, more than anything else, is
watch how I bring this all back together here, Andrew, because I don't know if you know how I'm bringing this all together, and that leads us to a local management group, multiple properties, our good friends, Lapio Golf Management, and their properties. Let's take a word from them.
Conveniently located in Harleysville, just off the Lansdale exit of the Northeast Extension, the player-friendly Mainland Golf Course offers excellent playing conditions at affordable rates. It is a perfect host site for your next corporate outing. And after each round, the golf experience at Mainland Golf Course can be enhanced by visiting the Mainland Grill, serving lunch and dinner daily. For more information, go to mainlandgolf.com. And don't forget their sister courses, Bella Vista Golf Course in Gilbertsville and Morgan Hill in Easton.
Awesome. So now we obviously have the flavor of the golf course management. We've heard our thoughts and, you know, what we expect for the upcoming Century Tournament of Champions. But the reality is we are nowhere without our listeners, without our fans, and our viewers, obviously, if you're watching us on YouTube. So the most important thing that we now have to get to, and it's been kind of a fan favorite of ours personally, if I do say so myself.
Can I interrupt one more time?
What do you need now? You are becoming needy if you're not leading.
You wanted to take the lead, but I got things to say.
Listen, there is.
I just wanted to comment, folks. If you could see, Andrew's got the coolest 19th hole outerwear piece on right now, and I just wanted to comment on it. It looks really stylish.
Thank you. Well, you know, it's
the white on white wall looks a little washed out, but I mean, well, you know, that's the piece itself is beautiful.
Listen,
look at that logo.
I mean, he's stylish always, but he's looking extra stylish tonight.
All right, listen, Andrew.
I'm in an apartment building. I can't change the walls. I got what I got. It was comfortable. I wanted it on. So that's it. The no white on white, it's because this is
what Andrew, continue. Quit dragging the show along. Let's go.
You're the one dragging the show along. Anyway, we're getting off topic. This has gone off the rails, and we need this to stop going off the rails. I'm taking back control. As I was saying, our fan favorite, obviously the Outside the Rope segment, where we get questions from you, the fans, and bring them to the table to discuss here at the 19th hole. I will start it off with a big one that I know that you said you got as an email. From Dave down in Myrtle Beach. Dad, I'll let you read it so that you, since you obviously have that right directly in front of you, what is the question and what are we learning from Dave down in Myrtle Beach?
I'm going to paraphrase. I do not have it directly from him. I'm paraphrasing what Dave said. Dave was listening to our podcast on, I think he said on Spotify, which we're also there. We're on Apple, we're on Google, we're on radio.com, and we are on TuneIn. he was listening to the prediction show, which we did on December 31. Mm-hmm. And we rounded off through all, on the PGA Tour specifically, all the who we thought were going to win the majors. Mm-hmm. And he was taken back that every one of us, none of us said Bryson was going to win a major this year. So I just thought we just a minute, real quick, go around the table again. You know, do you still feel that's the case? I mean, I've watched Bryson out at the tournament's champions, and he seems obviously I think he's going to continue to hone this new self,
whatever it is. Yeah.
I mean, we're now approaching a year, but does he? I'll ask the question again, Christian. Does he win a major this year? Do you want to take back your pick?
I don't take back anything that I've said personally. I don't think he's going to win a major. That's just me. I still think there's some question marks around his wedge game and his short game a little bit here and there. Like, obviously he putted phenomenally at the US Open last year, but there's still a bunch of question marks in my opinion.
I think you said if any possibility, I believe it was you out of all of us that said maybe Torrey Pines for the Open.
That'd be the only one that he'd win, but I don't even know if he'd get it done there, to be honest with you. I mean, think about it. It's going to be one of the toughest tournaments you play all year. And he's got to have all his entire game clicking on all cylinders. And I mean, we saw it firsthand at Augusta this past year. If he doesn't play well, doesn't hit, drive the ball well, he's in big trouble.
I don't disagree. I mean, Augusta, I do believe Torrey. I can kind of agree with you on Torrey Pines. I don't think at Kiowa, and I don't think at I don't think over at the Open Championship. So I stand pat with my predictions, Dave. Andrew,
I'll say this: the only one that I think for a different reason, is the Open. I actually think that he could get it done at the Open for the reason that, again, I think the Open more than any of them is more of a luck of the draw. What weather do they get to play in? What wind do they get to play in? You know, all those other little factors that in a traditional United States side Open, or Augusta or anything, it's not as prevalent. He hits the ball far enough that some of these courses are old enough that he could, you know, maybe take them down to a peg, you know. I think that's the only one. I don't take back any of my picks. I still am solidified with my picks. But I think if I was going to say, okay, maybe there's a chance Bryson pulls one out, I think it's the Open only for that reason. And all just right, because he may get lucky.
There you go. My only last comment on Bryson is, yeah, I don't know, I've seen some of the footage on social, but mm-hmm. I think he got bigger.
He's pushing the edge, as we've all said multiple times, for no other reason than he thinks it gives him a competitive advantage. And by all means, if the guy wants to work harder than you know,
God,
to get better,
God bless, right?
God bless him. Like that's.
However, though, it doesn't come down to how big you are. I'm just gonna say that because you got Justin Thomas, who's a twig, who can outdrive Bryson arguably anytime, anywhere, if he hits the ball super well. And same thing goes with Dustin Johnson. It all comes down to what you do inside 150 yards at any given week, and if you can put the ball close and make the putts, that's who wins the tournament.
There you go.
Yep.
All right, Andrew. Agree. That was my note from Dave. Down in South Carolina.
Listen, I'm glad that Dave wrote us. I appreciate it. If you are listening to the show and you do enjoy this little segment, we would greatly appreciate if you can continue to send in those messages either via Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, contact us through our website, whatever you guys find is easiest. We would love to have more questions to be able to answer, which does bring us to Sean from Pennsylvania. He asked, and I'm just going to read it based on how it was asked, would you rather win one time a year for the entire career? So if you're obviously on tour, win one time a year for your entire career, or win one Masters and never win a single other tournament again?
That's a great question, personally. I think that's a phenomenal question. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Masters.
You would never win again. So if you won your very first year,
I'd be fine with that. Because the reason it ultimately your career is measured on how many majors you win.
Okay.
Only a select people, Tiger, Jack, Sam Snead, are going to be in the echelon of talking about all time winningest.
Okay.
Look at the majors, and then look at the other thing. Now the continued conversation, the moniker, Ricky, maybe the best player out there that's never won a major. Matt Kuchar, maybe the best player out there that's never won a major. These guys are all going to – look, the W's, we all want to we're athletes. Everybody's athletes that plays game or played other sports growing up. You want to win. But these guys are going to make a ton of money through endorsement deals or just placing high on leaderboards. They want majors. And if it were me, I was fortunate to be in that situation, I would love to have Tiger Woods slip the green jacket on me.
Listen, I think you are wrong, and I'll tell you straight up why. The way that this question is worded, it does not say in any category that that one win is not a major somewhere else. And by just, again, I'm going off the question. The
now way you're going with trickery.
Listen, I'm going based on the way the question is written. And so Sean wrote the question. I'm going with the way that it's written.
Sean, your question needed to be more clear, have more clarity. Sorry.
I'm going off the way. It's nothing against Sean. It's just how it's written to me does not solidify that it can't be a U.S. Open, PGA, or the Open Championship.
All right. Well, I made the assumption in the leap that it was only a regular. It was like
Take those out. The Players Championship, obviously a big one. You have all the WGCs, obviously big ones. There's other ones that I just, again, without going through them all. I mean, yes, I think 1,000%, and Christian, you're probably going to say the same thing as my dad with the Masters. I think all of us, if they ever got the opportunity to say they won the Masters, would pick that in a heartbeat. The way that this is written, I beg to differ, and only for that reason that maybe there's a U.S. Open that I could win at Wingfoot, or maybe there's a St. Andrews Claret Jug, or one of those situations.
Christian, cut his mic and give us a – come on.
Listen, is that wrong? Tell me I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, like, then maybe I'm
Christian,
wrong.
Tell me wrong.
I just read it, but
look, my thing on this is that I'm obviously going to agree with Alan on this one.
Because
you look at four tournaments in a year, the four majors. Okay,
so then why is the Players called the fifth major?
Okay, but I understand that. But
It's artificially they're trying to make it more than what it is.
Every single player,
I understand that, but
every single player
token,
on the tour says that that is a major. They don't solidify it, but they count the
same
it
token,
in their heads as a major.
The four majors in a calendar year is a lot tougher to win than the Players' Championship, in my personal opinion. The majors that are set up for the Masters, the U.S. Open, the PGA, and the Open are going to be a lot more difficult to win than a Players' Championship, okay? And personally, in my opinion, I would rather win a major and never win another tournament in my life. I don't care if it was the U.S. Open. I don't care if it was the Masters, PGA, or the Open, because the recognition that you get for winning a major championship on the PGA Tour is like no other. You get enough money to last a lifetime. You get endorsement deals off of that. You get the recognition.
There's nothing on there. Like I said, going the way that the question is written, there's nothing on there that says I'm not winning a major. So if I'm taking the pick between a Masters and never winning again, or the fact that it says I'm going to win once a year, it does not solidify which tournament, I'm taking the chances that I'm going to win a major somewhere.
You're walking the fine line how you interpret. Let me clarify the whole Players real quick.
Hold on a second. Brooks has said, and you made the point that it's the hardest tournaments. Brooks Koepka has come out and said that he finds the majors actually easier to win because on any given week, he's got to basically beat 20 players.
Hang on. And Brooks, I don't disagree with his logic in that. The Players' Championship, without question, has the strongest field out of any field every year. Without question. I will. And here's the real thing that goes with the Players' Championship. It's the exemptions. You know, you're on tour for, I think it's 10 years, another 10 years.
Basically half your career, if not your career.
So that's why they made it so lucrative to win that. And it is a great venue against a strong field with a big reward payday at the end. Of course. But the heritage, the status in the game, that's why the other four are so important in my mind.
Listen, I don't disagree from the standpoint of where you're coming from. I'm going, and I may be taking it too literal. All I'm saying is I'm going from how it is written. I'm taking my chances of saying maybe I'm winning a major down the line. It does not solidify I don't. I'm going with the fact that it may have the chance. Who knows? Maybe I win five majors and each tournament I win, you know, in 1 year is one of the majors, you know, down the road. I don't know. I'm maybe reading too literal, but that's just me. All in all, I think that's it's a phenomenal question by Sean.
Yeah, so again,
we thank Sean, and I can't not get to the next question because again, I don't obviously want us to go too far in depth. However, we have Mike from Buffalo, i.e. Buffalo. I love Buffalo, obviously near and dear to me. But Mike from Buffalo asked, and this is almost, in my opinion, just as good of a question, which hole played on tour do you think is the best and most memorable hole played on tour and why?
I mean, that you could say about 10 different holes personally. I mean, obviously the first one that pops in all of our head is 17 at Sawgrass. You could also say
we're busted on the players, but all of a sudden we come back to what's the most memorable hole.
See? Yeah, I mean, you could also say 18 at St. Andrews. You know what I mean? In my opinion.
I could sit here and say number 12 at Augusta.
Yeah, you could say number 12 at Augusta. You could say 13, 18.
You could say,
The way I take this question is you have basically, in his mind, you have one hole that you can play for the rest of your life. This is your hole. That's it. End of story. Which one are you never? If it's me.
I mean,
well, if it's me, I don't hit it as long as I used to. So I'm playing number 7 at Pebble. It's downhill 100 yards.
I mean, that's another one. I actually think just for the fact that you get to say again, I do believe that in this situation, a major hole or a hole that's hosted a major has got to be on that list. It has got to be your pick. I actually think for no other reason than I think it's the most viewed shot in all of golf history. I'm picking number 16 at Augusta National. I think it's one of the most memorable par threes. I think it has so much history that's happened on it. You look forward to that hole. Like when they're coming down the back nine, that's the hole that I realistically, obviously you have the other par fives like 13 and whatnot, but like you have that hole. And quite frankly, to me, that is where Tiger's chip happened. That is the shot that, like, I remember. That's where Jack made his putt. Like, it's just – it has so much history on that hole. And to know that I got to play that hole, I can't pass that. That's got to be – that has to be my pick for that reason.
Yeah, I mean, I have a two-parter to this really quick. Obviously, my first and foremost is Sawgrass. Never played Sawgrass, but that's the hole – that's the shot I would want to hit every single time, anywhere, pitching wedge, 9-iron, 8-iron, whatever you want to hit, depending on the wind direction, that's the hole I want to play.
Dad, 7-iron for you, 6-iron maybe?
You know, but out of the courses that I've played at the tour course, personally, my favorite hole of all time is 18 at Harbortown. Coming down the Cal Bogey Sound, having that one drive, you really, it's a big, big, big fairway that you can hit, but your second shot into that is so, so, so small. Mm-hmm. It is so difficult to hit that green coming down the stretch. I was there when Kuchar held out in the bunker on 18. That wind can come up on you fast. That is a difficult, difficult, difficult hole to birdie, let alone par, coming down the stretch if you have a lead in the tournament. So that personally is my favorite hole of that I've ever played.
Okay. Dad, I know you kind of bounced around. I know you said 18.
I'm going to stick with number 7 at Pebble because guys have hit anything from – 58 degree wedge to 5-iron into that thing. People have putted down that hill. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's
no joke.
It's no joke at 107 yards. So okay. It just goes to a point that, I mean, golf courses don't, I mean, we talk so much about distance. Golf courses do not have to be exceptionally long if they have other characteristics.
I think you're 100% right. But, all in all, I thought those two questions, when I was going through the list, I thought those two questions were phenomenal questions. So again, if you are listening to the show, please send us your questions if you have them. We would love to discuss them. We have obviously our direct messages on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Send us an email or contact us through the website, whichever works best, obviously, for yourself. We are coming to a close. We are walking up onto the 18th green. So I will be asking now for Dad your closing thoughts on the week. Obviously, we've gone.
Are you hoping you hit it close and we give you a gimme?
Yes, I'm praying for that actually, so that way I don't have to putt. But that's what I'm going with. But anyway, you're getting off topic and derailing the show again. So get back on track. One of your closing thoughts. Obviously, this is our second show, second Thursday show of the of all time doing this way. So would love your closing thoughts as we go into the first tournament here in 2021.
I'm just excited that golf is back on TV. It was great. It seems like forever ago that we were sitting here chatting about Charlie Woods. But I'm looking forward to the guys getting started. Champions Tour next week. I think the ladies start again in 2 weeks. So good times. Good times to start watching some golf on a Sunday afternoon. And also looking forward to a little bit of some road trips we may have in the not-so-distant future. So keep following us on that, folks.
Christian, what's your closing thoughts for the
show? So obviously, like Alan said, it's going to be great to have golf back this week. I think it's going to be a really stacked leaderboard. It could be a first-time winner. It could be a multiple-time winner. I mean, we don't know. But I'm excited to have golf back and the competitiveness in these guys. And
if it's the Tournament of Champions, wouldn't they have already had to been a winner?
I'm talking first-time winner of the century tournament. The first winner of the century.
Got it. All right, just
you're getting us way too off track.
I was saying first time winner of the century, or it could be a multiple time winner of the century. So, but anyways, it's going to be a great. It's going to have the competitive juices back. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, obviously, I hope you guys all have a great week. We'll see you guys on our Monday show again, and hopefully stay safe and stay healthy.
My closing thoughts are I'm glad that we are all being able to actually talk golf again. It does seem like forever ago we were talking about Charlie Woods. So I'm glad that professional men's golf is back. I'm looking forward to watching it. You are not derailing this. So I'm going to get through this quick. I did have a gimme, folks, for all those that are listening. I did not have to putt. So thankfully my putting is not on display. Very looking forward to all of the road stuff and travel stuff that we do have planned. So stay tuned, like Alan said, to that. Other than that, though, again, guys, obviously this is our Thursday podcast as the look ahead. Tune in to our Monday show as we recap the Century Tournament of Champions. But other than that, Dad, we'll have you close it out with your signature line because there's no other way to do it.
Folks, hit it long and straight because...
beats short and crooked.
That a boy.
Join Golf Talk Live as they take the show on the road to Ireland. Six rounds of golf, six nights in Dublin, Portmarnock, Royal Dublin, Balltray Links, the K Club, the European Club, and Portmarnock Links. Go to Ireland with Golf Talk Live from September 25th to October 4th, 2021. Email Alan at golftalklive.net. That's A-L-L-E-N at golftalklive.net for more details.